Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, we hear a lot about technology these days, and when it comes to crime and theft prevention, technology will have a role to play in the future. Where will we be in a year's time, 3 years' time, 5 years' time? From CCTV to drones, so much can be done through technology. What are the implications for the farming community? Well, I've been speaking with the IFA's Rural Crime Prevention Executive, Colin Connolly, and he's been telling me about some of the initiatives that have already taken place and some of the things that we can look forward to in the future. Colin, fair to say that inroads are being made in terms of crime prevention and actually taking steps to apprehend those responsible?
Yes, definitely, Chris. I would say inroads are being made right across the country. And I suppose it's a start from where we were, and we've definitely gained back some ground. And I think some of the recent captures and investigations by Garda Síochána showed that it's working. But as well, what I'd say is it's a partnership approach where we work with communities, and we need to find and get feedback from these communities as to what is working or what is still breaking down in certain areas. And I think we're very much looking at the policing model of the last few years, where resources were drained away from, you know, local areas, looking to get those back into it, more Gardaí back in rural areas. And I think we're starting to see that that's starting to work.
In rural Ireland, word of mouth is great. Text messaging is a more recent phenomenon. There's community alert schemes. The IFA, I think it was down in Limerick, wasn't it? There was a pilot program at one stage to sort of step up how to deal with rural crime.
Yes, I think, well, our main pilot program, I suppose, our initiative that we have launched now is our Theft Stop initiative, where we're encouraging people to mark their property. And I suppose it's the first of its kind in anywhere, I think, across Europe, of where people are encouraged to mark their property and record it as an asset register. And very much the basis of my position within IFA as Crime Prevention Executive is to explore other areas where we can develop, I suppose, a better service for our members in this space. And the one thing that keeps coming back to me right across the country is education, awareness and partnership. And that works both ways. And when I say education, I mean educating the public and not just the farming community, but outside the farming community. Whilst I work for IFA, anything I look at in the area of crime prevention, I think, has to go right into the community, into the heart of the community. But also, on the flip side, to educate our members of An Garda Síochána around agriculture and around, you know, what it is, what farming is, and the cost, we say, of a sheep or a hoggett or a cow or a tractor to a farmer, how important that is if it's taken away from him or if he has a loss, you know. And I think that's where the education works back and forth.
Technology is playing an increasing role for many farmers, and in the area of security, this is very much a case. Be it using your smartphone, there's apps available. I was reading about a Westmeath farmer who had installed a sliding electric gate, and he was able to operate it through his phone. So when we look at the area of security, CCTV, recording equipment, sensors, many new possibilities.
Yes, and I think we talk about technology and advances in technology, and sometimes they can be criticised. And, you know, we talk about even things like Facebook and Twitter, and that, and people will say people are spending a lot more time on these social media. But I think if we look at these aspects of society, you know, we can actually benefit from them. Like, we look at, say, Facebook, for example, people can communicate messages far quicker. And if property is stolen or if there are crime trends in an area, people are sharing information. Sometimes, in actual fact, something can be on Facebook before the Gardaí are even notified, which it can have a negative side. But from a technical point, things like CCTV cameras, the day of the old CCTV camera being recorded on a VHS has moved on massively now. We're into an area where data can be stored on a cloud, you know, so CCTV becomes more accessible to everybody and not as costly to store footage, you know, and really, really good, excellent quality of stuff. Home alarms have changed now, where we have monitored alarms where you can get an instant text message to tell you if there has been an activation. And on top of that, we have things like farm gate sensors, where if a gate opens in the middle of the night, you get an alert to your phone to tell you instantly that gate is open. So I think all of these things are to be welcomed and to be used and looked at on their merits as well.
Yeah, I know you've addressed IFA meetings around the country before and made the point, if it's easy enough for a farmer to drive in and to be able to get some livestock and get out again, the same applies for a would-be thief.
Yeah, very. That's very true. And well, some of the most popular items, I suppose, and the recurring items that are taken right across the country are things like tools, quads, machinery, garden equipment, livestock and tractors. But you have to think of all of these things that we're using. And if you park up your quad at night time, you know, have you secured it in a proper location? Did you take the key out? You know, simple steps. And it might sound so basic and simple, but in many cases, they're not being done. And say, using the quad as an example, and something that's come to me only in the last few days, is the question, if your quad is stolen and your gate, and it's not in a secured environment or not behind a locked gate or in behind a steel gate or shed, you know, is it actually covered by your insurance policy? And it's part now, it's something that I'm starting to recommend that people could just look at the finer print on insurance policies and that, and make sure that you are in fact covered with these items. Because the market, there is a market out there for it, somebody is buying this stuff, but owners need to be very careful of their property.
Technology can involve cost. The sky's the limit in what one can do, be it livestock or be it property. What about microchipping and tracking devices? Are we going to be in a society 20, 30 years' time where every bit of property or every animal is going to have something on them that'll help to be, that they can be traced?
You know, I've been in many a conversation in relation to this, and tracking and chipping of animals and that. And I suppose the chipping and tagging is a very sensitive issue. And I suppose the obvious concern is around something getting into the food chain. I am informed when you speak to people that DNA, you know, tracing is the best way in relation to cattle or livestock. But again, as you mentioned, Chris, these things come with a cost and a massive initial setup cost as well, and this requires input from, I suppose, the department and from the government and the policing structure. You know, everybody has to be able to work off this system. But in relation to tracking of property and traceability of property, there are many trackers out there now on the market and various companies doing it. And again, like all technology, the cost is starting to come down on some of these technologies. So something that 10 years ago may have cost a lot more is now more attainable to everybody in the market. And the one thing I try and do and try and recommend to people is to look at your security solutions. Security shouldn't necessarily cost you a lot of money. You know, you can take very simple steps and maybe protect certain things. Example, for if we have our quad or our trailer or a tractor, you know, the bigger items that would require tracking, you would put a tracker on one of those. And again, if you are putting a tracker onto something, you need to make sure that that tracker is working, and you need to make sure some of them work off broadband coverage and some work off a mobile phone network. So you have to be very careful. I think the broadband issue comes up again, you know, and rural isolation. If we're lacking in broadband coverage in certain parts of the country, sometimes certain security solutions are not available to people. Yeah. You know, and what might work for somebody in Midlands or in Offaly or here in my county of Kildare may not work for somebody in Donegal in a hilly environment. So these things have to be given massive consideration.
Who knows what's around the corner? One development in the last few years has been the increasing use of drones. Now, in the farming use, you see in America and places are used to look and help people with large farms on tracking their crops and everything from pesticide. Advantages here, on a, maybe even on a security point of view, as they get cheaper as well. And I know there's legislation and there's difficulties in terms of the aviation side of it, but you know, you could have a scenario, people are going out and using a drone to keep an eye on their livestock and lands quite away from their own farm.
Yeah, definitely. I'll agree with you wholeheartedly. And only recently I came across a company that, and I had this conversation with them around drones and what they advised. And they mentioned that very same fact, that there is the capability to utilize a drone to manage, and especially the person living off the farm. So the farmer who's living, well, maybe 20-minute drive away from his property, he may be able to utilize a drone to protect his own property or have a quick scout around to see if livestock are okay or if the quad is still there. Very, you know, there are obviously legalities around drones and how they're operated, but I think this is an area that we would see a lot of changes in within Ireland in the next year or two. If I'm correct, there's only one or two actual registered people who can do certain surveys with them, but I think there's definitely an advantage for security operators to use these, because before the criminals get involved, and I've heard from people, different parts of the country, who are worried that drones are being used to film, you know, the backs of houses and homes and farms to see if there's property to be taken. Now, I've no hard facts to support that yet, with no major allegations, but I think what we need to do is we need to kind of preempt that and be in that space before criminals start using it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the flip side. If a farmer can use it from a defensive point of view, the criminal can use it to explore on the QT, so to speak.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Just turning to some of the basics that have always been a deterrence, it's hard to beat a bit of good old lighting.
Yeah, quite simply, and again, we talk about the basics of it. It does go back to the very, very simple basics of any kind of crime prevention. Lighting up your house, locking up the doors and putting on the alarm are some of the simplest things you can do. And as well, we talk about lighting now as the evenings are drawing in as well. Things like hedging around property, you know, if you can see your house from the road, you know, if there's an area that's kind of shut off, or if you have a hedge around where your shed is or your oil tank, you know, you need to be very careful. Are you giving cover for somebody? So light up those dark areas around the house and around where you would have property. That, again, if you have a camera installed close to a lighting, you know, if you have a light coming on in the middle of the night, just make sure that you don't have infrared camera that's going to affect it, that you're counteracting each other. Because if you have an infrared camera and a bright light comes on as the criminal walks past, you know, it's going to skew the image. So little things like that for people to think about.
Is there any statistical evidence out there to suggest that you're at more of a risk of a theft in a border area, because obviously people can maybe move from one jurisdiction to the other and may feel that it'd be easier to get away with the crime?
Yeah, I've yet to, I suppose, to get hard facts or statistics to back it up. Really what you go on is kind of personal testimony of people, and from both north and south, the livestock issue is definitely an issue around the border counties. And like, it would be remiss of me to say that it's not down to being a border issue. It very much is, because obviously it's crossing jurisdictions, and there's difficulties in as far as, I suppose, executing warrants. Or people would know that if someone travels across the border, it's very hard to trace a beast or trace an animal straight away, and tags are being swapped, I suppose, and tags have been lost and stolen as well. Again, what is a very simple item, you know, the cat is a very, very valuable item, and in the wrong hands can do so much damage. So I would encourage people to be very careful how they store them and how they manage them and make sure they're okay. But I suppose the border issue is something, it is an issue, it's not going to go away. And I think now with Brexit, you know, coming close upon us as well, I think there's definitely scope for us to work as well in a partnership, and work as well with the Ulster Farmers Union and the IFA and the PSNI and Garda Síochána, to work together to see how we can, you know, circumvent this and come around it and find a solution to the problem, really.
And finally, maybe it's a sign of the times that we live in, but there's been a few incidents in recent times that have led to calls that if you've contractors coming onto your farms or people doing certain works, that maybe people have been a little bit casual in the past, but no harm in looking for some degree of further protection, be they vetted or documentation. And what would your feeling be on this?
Yes, I suppose, and we've read the story in the media as well in relation to a contractor, you know, being involved in something. It's a difficult one as well, and again, it comes down to trust and relationships, and, you know, it can happen in any environment, let alone in a farming industry, but even into a retail environment where a staff member could, you know, be taking stock or anything. It's quite similar to that. And I suppose all you can do is put some more checks and balances in place, and things like accountability and traceability. So where if you have somebody coming in to work on your property, and whilst the farm is a very enjoyable place and it's a home, it also is a workplace. And I think we need to think about and remember that the farm is actually a workplace. Even in the line of health and safety, you know, there are strict guidelines that need to be adhered to. And a simple process where if a person came onto your property, that they were logging in maybe and logging out, just in a book, writing in their name, the time they're in, the time they're out, what work they're carrying out. And I suppose in that area, if a farmer does have a camera on his property, that might be an area where you'd have your main entrance that captures anybody coming in and out of your property. That little added element of security, I suppose, would deter or would cause a deterrent for a person who may be minded to be involved in any kind of criminal activity. But again, what I would stress as well is that, I suppose this is an isolated case, and I'd be very interested to hear what comes of it in the long term and as far as what has happened in the criminality element of it.
And one last little bit of advice, Rural Crime Prevention Executive Colin Connolly. The IFA does have information on its website and tips for those who want to find out more about security on the farm.
Yes, it's very much, it's a new feature that we've pushed since I've come into the IFA, and as part of our Test Stop initiative, I'm encouraging people to register with Test Stop, but as well to have a look at our homepage and have a look at us and follow us on Twitter there as well, where we try and put up as frequent as I can on a weekly basis. We try and communicate, you know, relevant tips that are very relevant and pertinent at the time, especially in the last week or so around the contractors and things like home heating oil, your different times of year, so to keep an eye on it. And if there are any questions, by all means, or if anybody has a specific area or wants some advice, I'd love them to contact me and I'll be able to point them in the right direction and help them out.
Rural Crime Prevention Executive with the IFA, Colin Connolly. Just time for a couple of items of other news. The planned new scheme for the sheep sector still hasn't been submitted to the European Commission for approval. The Department of Agriculture hopes to open the scheme to applications in 2017, and a payment to farmers of in the region of €10 a ewe is anticipated. The department said this week that the second amendment to the proposals for a sheep scheme is currently under discussion with the European Commission. And the long overdue 15% second phase gloss payment for 2015 is now being made to around 24,000 farmers, including a significant number in Donegal. The payment is worth nearly €5 million and will be warmly welcomed by those who have been waiting. In the case of commonage farmers, the payment due will be greater, as the Department of Agriculture only paid out on up to 17 acres when the first phase payments were made at the end of 2015 and early 2016. Just time for some livestock prices. Cattle prices, well, much tighter supplies. The steer base €3.80 to €3.85 a kilo. Heifers €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo. Bulls €3.70 to €3.95 a kilo. And cows making €2.85 to €3.35 a kilo. Sheep prices, well, supplies very tight. Factories are paying €4.80 a kilo. Tops €4.95 a kilo. Ewes €2.70. That's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore. Thanks for listening. Until next week, goodbye.